Welcome to Making It Fair, a podcast brought to you by the Canadian Council of Parliamentary Ombudsmen. I'm Lindsay Hunt, and I'm joining you from the unceded traditional territories of the Lekwungen-speaking peoples in British Columbia, Canada. This podcast is all about fairness and public administration. We'll dive deep into why fairness matters and find out how ombudsmen with special expertise in holding governments and public bodies to account can make things that are wrong right. In today's episode, Rob Walton and Harry Walker of the Saskatchewan Ombudsman's Office talk about why a rural Saskatchewan couple thought their $700 ambulance bill was unfair, and how the Ombudsman's Office honed in on a fundamental question that had not been answered.
Hello and welcome. My name is Harry Walker, and I'm with the Provincial Ombudsman's Office for Saskatchewan, and I'll be your host for this episode. Today, we're talking about a $700 ambulance bill that a patient received, why she thought it was unfair, and how we used some informal methods to solve the problem. Joining me is my colleague Rob Walton, who worked on the case.
Thanks, Harry. Happy to be here.
And happy to have you here. All right, so jumping right in. Rob, how did we find out about this bill?
So we get a call from the patient and her husband. Because our work is done in confidence, I'll call the couple Stephen and Lisa. Stephen and Lisa live in a rural area, and Lisa had recently given birth in a larger urban center. She'd had a complicated pregnancy, so a week after the child's birth, when she started having complications, she went to her local hospital. The doctor there assessed her with dehydration, but then contacted an obstetrician at the hospital where she had delivered the baby. The obstetrician recommended that Lisa be sent to that hospital immediately for further assessment. Stephen and Lisa were okay with this and said that they would drive there immediately as it was only an hour away and they had no insurance or money for an ambulance. Staff told them that they must go by ambulance, that driving was not an option, and so they ultimately agreed to do that. So when Lisa arrived at the hospital in the larger center, it was around 11 p.m. on a Friday night. While still in the ER, being triaged, Lisa was told that the obstetrician had just told staff a few minutes earlier that there was actually no need to see her that night, and she should be directed to come back on Monday and be seen at an outpatient clinic. So, less than an hour after arriving, Lisa was discharged. This meant Stephen was now forced to pack up their three small children, including a newborn, drive an hour late at night to that hospital to get Lisa, and then to drive home again. And a few weeks later, they received an ambulance bill for $700.
Wow. So this sounds like a situation that started out being scary and just ended up being frustrating for Stephen and Lisa. So what happened next? Did they contact the Ombudsman's Office immediately?
Not at first. Stephen and Lisa were upset and they wanted a refund, so they reached out to the Saskatchewan Health Authority. It was complicated for them since the local hospital and the hospital in the larger urban center were actually in different service areas and had different concern handling departments. As a first step, they went to their small local hospital and were told that since Lisa had used the ambulance, there was no reason to reimburse the cost. They then went to a quality care coordinator, who is a person who is there to help patients navigate the health system and also to help them resolve concerns. The coordinator told Lisa and Stephen that nothing could be done. After that, they went through the exact same process at the second hospital. The messaging they heard at every step was the same, that ambulances are an uninsured service, and if they are used, the client is responsible for the bill. Not wanting to give up, they went to the Health Authority's Emergency Services Branch, which deals with ambulance services. This branch also reviewed their complaint, but told them that because a physician had ordered the assessment, there was no discretion to reimburse them for Lisa's ambulance trip. And it was at that point that they came to us.
All right. So you have a file that involves two different hospitals, an ambulance, and clinical decisions made by doctors. How do you start your assessment?
I should point out here that we are not mandated to look at clinical decisions by doctors, but we are able to look at the policies that surround healthcare to ensure that they are applied in a fair manner. For starters, let's talk about ambulances. It is true that in Saskatchewan, ambulances are not an insured service. This is laid out in legislation, as are the rates for service. So we acknowledge this in principle and frequently have to tell people that it is not our role to advocate for individuals not to have to pay, even though we acknowledge that the costs can be very high. Having said this, we do consider each case individually, and on occasion, there are situations that merit a closer look, and this was certainly one of those. The first step we took was to review the three written responses that Stephen and Lisa had been given by the two individual hospitals and by the emergency services branch. While I was pleased that each of them had actually taken the time and effort to provide a written response, I noted that none of them answered the fundamental question, why was Lisa charged for a trip to a hospital where she received no services? The responses only focused on the fact that ambulances are not an insured service and that because the referring doctor had requested the consult, it was a matter of patient safety.
So the legislation says that ambulances are not insured. The doctor wrote orders that Lisa go by ambulance, and the Saskatchewan Health Authority explained this to her and Stephen in writing three different times. That seems reasonable, but my gut says that there's something unfair here. What do you do in a case like that?
Well, I certainly agreed with you. Something just did not feel right. The biggest thing for me was the expectation of service. The referring doctor had been very clear that the reason for the transport late on a Friday night was an immediate need for Lisa to see the specialist. He had called that specialist, who then agreed to the transport. And yet, 3 hours after the phone conversation between the doctors, when Lisa arrived at the hospital, not only was the specialist not there to see her, but he had simply left word with hospital staff that it could wait until Monday. This did not make any sense to me, and it frankly felt unfair.
Yes, it does seem confusing that the specialist would say to send her and then decide not to see her. Do we know what changed in those 3 hours?
I don't know. As I mentioned, it's not part of our mandate to review clinical decisions, so we did not ask. But the bottom line was that the only reason Lisa was in that ambulance was because a doctor sent for her and then ultimately decided not to see her.
Did the health authority change its mind about the bill when you pointed this out to them?
Not initially. When I shared the timeline of events that I had developed based on a review of Lisa's hospital records with a senior health authority leader, the response was that it was not a given that the specialist had to see Lisa, that he had the right as a clinician to change his mind. I was told that even though she was discharged almost immediately without having seen the specialist, it was the authority's opinion that she had still received an appropriate level of care. When I heard this argument, it frankly made no sense to me. But as mentioned, given that we don't review clinical decisions per se, I opted to dig more and focus into what we would refer to as the procedural side of fairness. I asked questions like, did anyone tell Lisa and Stephen that she might not actually be seen by the specialist? Did anyone at the first hospital give them options when they were clear that they could not afford an expensive ambulance bill? I reminded the senior leader that there was nothing written in her chart about discussions of this nature, and that from our perspective, if it wasn't charted, then it didn't happen. I also pointed out that Lisa and Stephen had clearly told me that these conversations had never occurred.
Okay, so for sure one would have hoped that someone from the hospital would have discussed these things with Stephen and Lisa. And even though, of course, her health was the most important thing, it also seems clear that they were very worried about the ambulance bill at the time. $700 is a lot of money for people without any kind of insurance. So it seems the health authority was pretty dug in that there was no reason to reverse the bill. Were you able to convince them that there was a fairness issue here?
In the end, yes. I spoke with three different senior leaders, and finally, one that was involved in physician affairs agreed that the way things had played out wasn't fair. There was agreement that Lisa and Stephen should have been advised that there was a possibility, however remote, that she would not see the specialist, and also that there should have been discussion about any options for her and Stephen to get there on their own once they expressed concern about the cost. We encouraged the health authority to use the situation as a learning opportunity for the system, especially given that ambulance use is so common from rural hospitals to larger urban ones. As an office, we felt and continue to feel that it is important for physicians and staff to be aware of the cost to patients and to take steps to ensure that they are made aware of them.
So this all seems fairly complex. Is there any reason why you took this approach instead of doing an investigation?
It is true that this was a file that we could have formally investigated, but there are several reasons for choosing to use this informal approach. First of all, the Ombudsman Act 2012, which is the legislation that we operate under, enables us to use non-adversarial approaches like these to try to resolve matters, and there are distinct benefits to using them. For example, having these discussions with health authority officials helped us to better understand how that system works, but it also helped them to better understand how we assess fairness. I think that working through this process with us actually helped them to feel like they were part of the solution. And besides that, and perhaps more importantly, Stephen and Lisa were facing the prospect of their bill going to collections, and using this approach produced a much quicker outcome than a formal investigation would have.
So what about Stephen and Lisa? Were they satisfied with this outcome?
Yes. They told me that from the start, they knew the bill wasn't fair, which is why they pursued it. But they also told us that after being turned down three different times by the authority, that even their friends and family were telling them to let it go. They couldn't and wouldn't, and they came to us as a last resort. They were very glad that they did, and so was I.
Well, that's great. Thank you for sharing this case with us. And for more information about the kinds of complaints the Saskatchewan Ombudsman's Office can take, please visit our website at www.ombudsman.sk.ca.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Making It Fair, The Fundamental Question. If fairness matters to you, we encourage you to like, subscribe, and share our podcast, and watch for our next episode, which is coming soon.